Coming up on show 950, Tesla's final quarter and end of year production and delivery report. How did they do? We'll give them marks out of 10. Also on the show today, we're looking at Tesla's production capacity for 2021 and where could they go? In China, XPeng is deploying a technology that Elon Musk says is no good, and what cars will GM show off later this month at CES? Well, there's questions answered on the podcast today. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. Weekend edition, Saturday, 2nd of January. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. So the big headline today is Tesla's Q4 vehicle production and delivery report. They're different numbers. Sometimes they make more than they deliver, sometimes vice versa. In the press release coming from Tesla's investor relations website today, they say that in 2020, we produced and delivered 500,000 vehicles in line with our most recent guidance. In addition, Model Y production in Shanghai has begun, with deliveries expected to begin shortly. So what did the numbers actually do? Well, they don't tell us the production and deliveries model by model. They kind of clump them. So they give us the S and the X together, and they give us the 3 and the Y together. And that's frustrating because we'd love to know all the granular details. But we can start to surmise a few things from the data. Well, first of all, let's look at the quarterly numbers. And that is that they made about 16,000 S and X combined and delivered about 19,000. So they were running their inventory down by 3,000 of their premium cars. Of the 3 and the Y, and again, this is globally, of the 3 and the Y, they made about 163,500 and they delivered about 161,500. So there, they've got a bit more, got a little bit of inventory, a little bit of stock there. So if you go to the Tesla website, like I can do here in the UK, there's plenty of Model 3s now, which are pre-configured, less than 50 miles on the clock. They're inventory cars. Some of them have got about £200-300 discount. Some of them I found a blue, not that I was looking, but a blue Model 3 today, Standard Range Plus, and that had about £1,000 off just because it's in inventory compared to what you would pay if you'd configured the car yourself. So that's a total of making about 180,000 cars around the world in the last 3 months and delivering about 180,500. So what did it do for their yearly figures? Because, of course, that was the big number that everyone was talking about. And that number was 500,000. That was to be 500,000 vehicles by the end of 2020 in the entire year, which, yes, they did hit. And actually, this was predicted 6, maybe 7 years ago by Tesla as one of their long-shot goals they wanted to get to, 500,000 cars a year by the end of 2020. And that is a massive old bullseye right down the middle. They hit it. Now, and you know, I will add that Tesla fans today have cherry-picked that one fact and said, look, years ago they said they'd do this, and they have. There are other times, like in 2018, when Elon was asked on an investor call, what do you think he'll do in 2020? And he said 1 million cars a year, or very close. And then went, well, that could be 750,000. Okay, so 75% of the number you literally just said. And that was a massive miss. So, look, Elon, over the years, says a lot, whether that is, we'll do full self-driving this year. No. Or, there'll be a 7-seater Model Y by the end of the year. No. Hello, Bueller, where are you? Nowhere to be seen. So look, there is that argument that the anti-Tesla lot say, that if you throw enough muck at the wall, some of it's going to stick. Elon says a lot of things, and actually, if you make enough predictions, some of them are going to come true. But they did say, 6 or 7 years ago, they were going to do this many cars, and they did. So a massive, massive well done to Tesla. Huge win today, huge win for the year. And that is considering that, yes, the factories were closed, both of them. Well, I say both, but Fremont and Shanghai, for different periods of time. So what did they actually get to? Well, interestingly, some of the articles I've seen today, Reuters, Bloomberg, saying, oh, they just missed their target. Well, look, they missed it by 450 vehicles. If you're looking at deliveries only, they delivered 499,550. I think we'll call it 500,000. And actually, they delivered this report a couple of days earlier than they have done in previous quarters and previous years as well. So there are still bits of paper in the pipeline, and it could well be that over the next few days and weeks, that by the time we get the final number, that that does tick over 500,000. That's how many they delivered, by the way. So what is that by the cars? Well, it's about 57,000 S&X and 442,500 3&Y around the world. They actually produced 510,000 vehicles, but delivered 500,000. Actually, and all of that, that's over the year. All of that surplus comes from previous quarters, because in terms of Q4, as we saw, production and deliveries were pretty much exactly the same, split by not even 1,000. And so that's that difference, having 10,000 vehicles in the inventory, comes from the first 9 months of the year. They say that our delivery count should be viewed as slightly conservative, as we only count a car delivered if it is transferred to the customer and all the paperwork is correct. Final numbers could vary by up to 0.5% or more. Year-on-year growth, by the way, I've worked it out, about 36%. That's stunning. That's good for a company that makes, you know, software and services, let alone a company that actually puts a motor car together, and which is incredibly complex to bring all those things together in a supply chain and sell a product, a good, to an individual. Well, 500,000 individuals this year. Stunning. 36% year-on-year growth is awesome. When Tesla announced its Q4 results for 2019, back in January earlier this year, January 29th, I think it was, management then set a target for full year deliveries of 500,000 cars. That would translate to the 36% year-over-year growth that I mentioned. That was 368,000 vehicles last year as a year in full. Now, according to Nasdaq.com, what management didn't know was the world was about to get hit with a pandemic that would lead to lockdowns and temporary shutdowns of their factories in Shanghai and Fremont. Indeed, Tesla's main manufacturing facility in California would be shut down for about 6 weeks and half of Q2. What's the split then of 3 and Y? That's what we really want to know. So the Model Y, which is going to be the big car that everybody seems to have, we were told everybody would want. We don't know that, so we will wait and see if we can read the tea leaves a little bit. Everybody thought when the Y came around, nobody would buy a Model 3. Now, that hasn't been the case in 2020, for a couple of reasons. You can't buy the Model Y in China, and actually, there are more Model 3s sold in China than anywhere in the world. Yeah, more Model 3s get sold in China than the US. So that has been a massive number for Tesla this year and helped out the Model 3. If you split just the US, still it looks like the 3 has been the big seller this year, but they've been ramping up Model Y. What about production capacity then? So this is something that is really interesting to look at. Well, as per Tesla, earlier this year, they said, we have recently increased capacity. I think this was back in October they said this. Anyway, we have recently increased capacity of Model 3 and Y to 500,000 units a year. To do this, we restarted our second paint shop, installed the largest die-casting machine in the world, and upgraded our Model Y general assembly line. Production should reach full capacity by the end of the year or beginning of 2021. Model Y in Fremont is expected to reach capacity level production soon. Our most recent capacity expansion, now stabilizing with Model 3 in Shanghai. Model 3 capacity is 250,000 a year in Shanghai. So how does it split out? Well, let's go Fremont in California first. They have capacity to make about 90,000 S&X together every year. At Model 3 and Y, they can make about 500,000, like I just said. So out of Fremont, California, they can make, if all the stars align, 590,000 vehicles a year. In Shanghai, Model 3 installed capacity is now 250,000 a year, about 5,000 a week at three shifts, increasing from 200,000 and 150,000 over the year. Well, Model Y, we don't know. Expected, I've read reports, some say expected of 150,000, some say expected 215,000. Either way, you would say it's going to be similar ballpark to Model 3. There's no reason why the 3 or the Y would have vastly different production capacities. So that is a total at the moment, before you count Model Y in China, that's a total of 840,000 cars a year. divided by 4, 210. So that is an installed capacity of 210,000 a quarter as of this moment in time. And that's about what they did in quarter four. So they're running very close to capacity. And I think that's important because, as you know, this podcast, I try and sit on the line of being objective, and I try and take all these things into account that the both passionate sides and fans of either Tesla or not have to say, and then I try and filter it because, you know, everyone's got an agenda. And so some of those podcasts that I like, the Tesla Pro podcasts, that are very, very good, you know, there is an agenda. A lot of people, you know, they're stockholders, or, you know, they are overcoming some inbuilt biases, whether they recognize them or not. So Tesla are running close to production limit, and that's important because the fanatics will tell you, oh, well, look, Tesla can sell every car they can possibly make. There's a queue out the door. Tesla haters will point out, look, they can make 840,000 cars a year. They only made 500,000. Well, actually, that's the installed capacity as of all the work they've done this year. So I would have to, on this case, come down on the side of people who say, look, they sell every car they can make. I'm 95% of the way there with them. I think that's probably about true, and we'll wait and see how much capacity of Model Y they add in China this year. So how's it done by region? Again, we don't know, but if I dig into the estimates kind of around the internet over the last couple of weeks, those people who do track the numbers suggest that they will deliver, or they did deliver in 2020, about 205,000 cars to the US, still their biggest market. But it's a reminder how important China is to Tesla. 150,000 in China. So three quarters of the US number, which is mega. In Europe, a lot less, about 100,000 deliveries across Europe, about 30,000 Asia-Pacific, and about 22,000 in Canada. So that's kind of how it splits out, but we don't know because Tesla won't tell us. Okay, that's the story, the big story today. I'd love to hear your feedback on what you think about that, about whether they have achieved a big goal, whether you think that that is nothing to shout about, because even at 500,000 cars a year, it puts them about 80,000 cars a year short of a company like Isuzu, for instance. So even though the stock price of Tesla is, you know, one of the biggest in the world now by market capitalization, and it seems that their share price can only go in one direction and that's up, if you think of them as an automotive company, they are a reasonably small car company now and getting better at what they do. If you class them as a Silicon Valley software company, energy storage, solar, and the rest, then you probably think they're worth a lot more than a typical car company. But in terms of how many vehicles they make and how that fits into the world stage, that's about where they are in terms of production of cars. So yeah, give me your feedback. I'd love to know your thoughts on that story. Okay, let's move on. Let's go to China. XPeng, or Xiaopeng, if I meant to say it that way, is the Chinese EV maker that has just announced they are integrating LiDAR into their cars for their new production models in 2021. Their partner is Livox. Now, XPeng's new 2021 cars are the world's first mass-produced EVs with LiDAR. They say that solidifies their position in terms of self-driving and driving assistance technology. The addition of LiDAR improves the vehicle's high-precision recognition performance. It enhances the vehicle's perception capabilities. The accuracy, particularly the accuracy of spatial resolution in both horizontal and vertical axes, enhancing the ability to avoid pedestrians and static objects, particularly. It's what LiDAR's very good at, combined with LiDAR's ability to monitor small obstacles, regardless of the ambient light levels, which, of course, you can't do with just pure cameras. It can provide greater safety redundancy for the driver assistance functions. Well, XPeng's autonomous driving platform does integrate cameras, millimeter wave radar, ultrasonics, and now LiDAR. The addition of LiDAR will not only provide a greater level of safety redundancy by allowing more accurate imaging of the road situation around you, but also enhance target detection, the measurement accuracy, and the performance of low ambient light. Worth noting, by the way, that Elon Musk has said more than once that LiDAR does not need to be in a Tesla for it to be full self-driving, Xpeng politely disagreeing, a company that has modelled itself in many ways on the Californian company and drawn, let's say, inspiration from many of their things, going in a different direction in this particular case. All right, moving on. CES is the trade show, the technology show. CES 2021 is going to be very different. Rather than tens of thousands of tech fans and journalists in Las Vegas, the entire event will be online. A new report surfaced. The General Motors CEO, Mary Barra, is giving the opening keynote address. It's going to be January the 12th, and in the keynote, she will provide an insight and a sneak peek at the upcoming EVs from General Motors. According to Slash Gear, one of the GM concept vehicles unveiling in her keynote will be a plug-in Chevrolet pickup truck. Whether that's all electric or hybrid, we don't know. But we hope it's full electric, of course. Also showing off the Cadillac electric models. GM's president, Mark Rias, also speaking at CES about their EV strategy. Well, incentives are always a contentious topic. Is it carrot or is it stick? What needs to be done? Maybe it's both. But in China, they've been giving some pretty big subsidies over the years. But China will cut its subsidies on EVs, like public vehicles, also electric cars, by about a fifth. We're up to a fifth, up to 20% next year in 2022. The Finance Ministry of China saying on December 31st, 2 days ago, as Beijing seeks to boost fuel economy and cultivate homegrown EV champions. According to the Asia Times financial website, China has set a target for new energy vehicles, what they call EVs, which also cover plug-ins and hydrogen. Bless. To account for a fifth of auto sales by 2025, compared to the current 5% in China. According to a statement posted on the Finance Ministry website, subsidies for public transport and postal services, logistics, that's going to be cut by 10%. Other areas facing a 20% subsidy cut next year. The proportion of EVs in the sales of new vehicles expected to rise to about 20% by the middle of the decade. So good work being done in China, but so much more to do if they want to go full electric or zero emissions, I should say, by 2035. Finally, Nissan is reducing its presence in Europe even further, but its UK network is going to remain one of its target markets. According to reports in a Japanese newspaper, the publication Yomiuri revealed it had been informed by an unnamed source. I don't like that phrase in a report, so beware an unnamed source, that Nissan is going to start scaling back their efforts in Europe, but it will still sell cars through their network affiliation with Renault, says Car Dealer Magazine. The areas hit largely in Eastern Europe. 30 countries will see a reduction in Europe, and Nissan saying the target markets will be UK, Germany, Spain, and Italy, parts of Northern Europe as well, where the Leaf has sold incredibly well. The article added that the Nissan plans for shuttering their plant in Spain are going ahead after some delays, but no mention of the UK plant. Of course, that's in Sunderland, one of three places the Leaf is made around the world. We are no longer part of Europe, that we've gone through a transition year, and as of about 36 hours ago, we were formally separated from our European neighbours. And so part of that deal that was done on Christmas Eve is no tariffs, no limits to trade, and no tariffs on trade as well. Now, there are some stuff you can get deep into the weeds on the supply of components for assembly that is going to kind of kick in over a period of years. And of course, car assembly is a particularly difficult thing to do because you're bringing in thousands of parts from all over Europe, but for now, no change, no tariffs, no extra fees, and so we hope, obviously we hope manufacturing stays in the UK, but we will see. And that is interesting because the Leaf is largely a car that I feel is, it's kind of on about 50% power at the moment. And you know, what I mean by that is I don't see Nissan getting behind it. And actually, you know, the Leaf Plus, the bigger battery, it's a good car. It's a big family car, and I'm a huge fan of the Leaf, and I'd love to own one day as part of the cars that I've owned over the years. And, of course, Chatamo, bi-directional, all that kind of stuff. But I kind of don't feel that they're behind it. The Aria is coming next year, next summer. That seems to be the car that they want to push. And I understand that. It's a ground-up EV. Hasn't been plagued. It won't be plagued by the issues the Leaf has. Things like rapid gating and multiple DC fast charging and the battery overheating. But still, what happens to the Leaf when the Aria arrives? Now, the Aria isn't a replacement. It's a bigger car. It's a more expensive car. Does the Leaf stick around? Do they make it cheaper? Where does it fit? If they're not giving it much love now, how much love will they give it when the Aria is around? I don't know, and I find it frustrating at Nissan at the moment. They seem to have... they haven't lost their way, but they just seem to have, I don't know, let their foot off the gas a little bit with the Leaf, and quite know where it fits. I'm not sure, but anyway, we will wait and see. Of course, the CHAdeMO plug not coming with the Aria. That moves to CCS here and in the US. CHAdeMO stays in the home market of Japan. So, we'll wait and see. That's your podcast for today. Well, there are 949 shows in the archive. The blog is evnewsdaily.com. This is a Saturday show, but not a Saturday special. That's the name I give to all the interviews that we do, which I haven't done so many of lately, and that's bugged me that I haven't had the time to do it. Of course, earlier this year, we went from 7 shows a week, you know, it was a daily podcast, which was hardcore, right? That took its toll, down to 5 shows a week, but I didn't do as many interviews. I've missed those. I've missed Question of the Week. I've missed having you on the, hearing your thoughts about things. I felt like that was a really big part of the podcast. When we lost Sunday show, I didn't like that. So I'm going to try and work on a way where, you know, it is healthy that I can do some more things that I think the podcast has lacked, to be honest with you. Since I went down to 5 shows a week, I've never really been fully on board with that decision. I know I had to. COVID was a weird year. We became a family this year, well, end of last year. And so, you know, new pressures and, you know, kind of just all those things. Many good reasons to go down to 5 shows a week. But I think some changes in 2021. Hey, thank you very much to our Patreon supporters, both the individuals and the companies that support us. That's Phil Roberts, who runs Electric Future. To Brad Crosby, one of my longest supporters, Avid Technology, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East. I must check in with them, see if they've got their XC40 recharges in stock yet. Also, Volvo Cars, NationalCarCharging.com and AlohaCharge.com. Also, Derek Riley with his EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, and Richard at rsev.co.uk, the electric vehicle specialist. Have a wonderful day. I'll catch you tomorrow. And do remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.